Welcome to another episode of the Alaska Airline Center podcast. We are joined today with Nick Heron-Webb. Thank you for coming in, and we're excited for the upcoming AFC 140.
Yeah, no problem. I'm excited to be here. I'm super stoked to get back in the cage and fight for Sarah again.
Well, perfect. Yeah, thanks for coming in. If you want to touch base a little bit, we know you certainly have an extensive MMA career, and it goes back, I believe, 18, 19 years old, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. My very first fight was 10 years ago for Sarah back in 2008. And yeah, I was 18, kind of fresh out of high school. I had wrestled middle school, high school, looking for something to keep active and keep me in shape. And first started fighting and just kind of fell in love with it. And it took off pretty quick. I ended up going on to the Ultimate Fighter in 2012, and then just been competing ever since, fighting out of state. And recently, my last fight was in 2016, November 2016. I fought in London. That was my last one. So I took a little bit of time off, got married, got a little, you know, fat, you know, enjoyed life a little bit. But yeah, now it's been getting set up to get this fight going, getting back in the gym, and getting ready to go.
Definitely.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
and certainly want to make a little plug there. You mentioned high school, and I always, I understand East High, T-Bird, correct?
Yep, T-Bird,
former T-Bird myself, so I certainly want to acknowledge that. Yep. A former T-Bird.
I'm a Lynx, so.
Oh, boo. No, yeah.
So you mentioned that your last fight was in London. What promotion was that for?
That was Cage Warriors, I believe.
Cage Warriors,
yeah.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. And what other places have you been able to fight?
I fought in Vegas when I was on the Ultimate Fighter. Right. I fought in California. I fought in Canada. Kind of all over the place, it seems like.
Right.
Those are the ones I'm remembering right now. Yeah. You know, punched in the head too many times. No, I'm just teasing.
And that's great for especially somebody from Alaska here to get that international exposure and get these opportunities like you have to travel around. And you mentioned the Ultimate Fighter experience too. Season 16, is that what
it
was?
Yep.
Can you touch a little bit on how you got chosen for that and what that
was
like?
Yeah, it was actually a great experience. I actually went down for the previous welterweight season that they were running. I made it all the way through. When you go down to the Ultimate Fighter and the tryouts, they have three kind of stages of trying out. The first stage is you go and you do some grappling, and they'll just kind of randomly put people together, and they'll kind of look and see if they like what you're doing on the grappling mat, if you're just kind of being slow and not moving very much. And so that's the first segment. And then the second segment is hitting mitts, kicking, punching, whatever you want to do. They'll kind of be there and let you beat them up. And then the third segment is an interview with some of the directors of the show. And so at that point in time, when you go down there, initially you have to pay your way. You sign up for the event and fill out all their paperwork online and take it down there with you. At that point, I was 20. I was going to be turning 21 like a week before production for that show started.
Wow.
And they really loved me. They liked the idea of having me on the show. And then they ended up pushing production up a couple weeks. So I missed out on that one. And they told me because of that. And so then on the next time that they brought the welterweights up, I went down there, tried out again, and they picked me right away and said, you know, they'll be flying me up again and working with me. So it was a great time. I got great exposure, got to meet a lot of good guys that are training around my weight at that time. And it was a blast. You know, I got to stay down in Vegas for like 6 weeks and training with a lot of cool guys. And it was a lot of fun.
And you guys lived in a house too,
right? Yeah, we were stuck in a house, a bunch of kind of alpha male, you know, types. So
right. We
had a little bit of fun and, you know, butt heads a little bit. But, you know, the show, they kind of hype it up a little bit with the antics and stuff. But it's, you know, most of the time we're there, we're hanging out, we're eating, we're training, and we're having a good time. You know?
That's great. Yeah. We actually interviewed Carl Bynes yesterday.
Oh, cool.
And he went down last year, or I think it was last summer, to try out for Ultimate Fighter, and you made it all the way through all the stages you just mentioned, but they picked a different weight class at the end. But it sounds like a rigorous process.
Yeah, it is. And just getting to that interview part of the stage is really important, you know. So when they do end up having a wait that he's going to be able to come back again, they'll remember him, you know. And right. and so it's good to get that exposure out there, especially for guys in Alaska. You know, it's hard to get out of state. It's hard to get your name out just because we're so excluded from a lot of the lower 48 stuff. So anytime you could get a chance to go down there, you know, show yourself, you know, kind of right. greet and, you know, put a face to the name, it makes it a lot easier for other promotions to, you know, see that you're somebody that is willing to draw a crowd and kind of bring people to watch you fight and stuff.
Absolutely. And it's a true testament of the quality of fighters that are up here, because you guys getting this opportunity. And there's been a few others that have gone on to make a name yep. for themselves at yep. UFC,
yep.
Both guys and girls, some of the female fighters as well. But
yep. Jared Cannonier, he's yep. one of our local guys. He's got a fight coming up. Dennis, a guy at my gym, Dennis, he's got a fight for the Contender Series coming up. And yeah, we're excited. We got a lot of good talent in Alaska, and we're starting to kind of show on the map a little bit more.
And what gym do you
train? Anchorage Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep. Yep.
Right on Midtown, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's
yep.
right.
Yeah, and we've talked a little bit with Sarah before, too, about putting these fights together. And not only is there good quality locally here as well, but she also goes out and does some recruiting and brings people in from out of state. I know some guys from Hawaii, New York, and California, and things like that. How does that planning process work for you? If you say, you know, knowing some of the local guys, you have a little bit more insight to them. Is it a little bit harder when you're matched up against somebody from outside?
Sometimes, you know, it just kind of depends on the opponent. If they're a local guy, you've had a chance to kind of watch them at maybe some other events, or kind of maybe even get a chance to train with them at some point in time. You know, if you know that you have a guy that's coming from out of state, sometimes you can look him up on YouTube and watch some fight footage. Typically, they won't have much training footage, so you don't know exactly what they're working on in the gym. But it doesn't really change my mind, kind of what I'm going to go out there and do. You know, every aspect of the fight, you want to be dominating. You know, so you want to be able to hold yourself on the feet. You want to be able to stop the takedowns. You want to be able to take him down if you want to go there, and then you want to feel comfortable on the ground, you know, in any position that you're in. And then if you can get to those, you know, that comfortability in the cage, then you're usually pretty good with no matter who she puts in front of you, or who anybody, the promoter, puts in front of you.
Right. And I mean, for example, John Stern, I don't believe he's a local guy, right?
He actually was up here. He actually trained with us for a little bit at Anchorage Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for a little bit. But now he's down in Texas training, from what I understand, down there. So, yep.
And as far as scouting for your opponent, is there anything that you know about him, about possibly an advantage you might have over John Stern?
I think I've definitely got an experience advantage on him. He's a young guy. He's been fighting just for a little while, comparative to myself. And he'll be strong, but I don't think he'll have the weather, the storm, you know, kind of tenacity where he can kind of continue the fight after, you know, he initially gasses out and kind of right. brings the thunder that he's going to try to bring, you know, in the first round or something. So it'll be a fun, interesting fight. But I don't think he's got enough experience to kind of get him all the way through to where he needs to be.
Right. Absolutely. And we're talking about the main event here at AFC 140, coming up May 16th, here at the Alaska Airlines Center. Certainly tickets still available on sale right now at the AlaskaAirlinesCenter.com or at AlaskaFighting.com as well. And Nick, we talked a little bit there about your matchup. What kind of timeline do you typically put into a normal fight for your preparing for the fight? How far out are you?
Typically, I stay in the gym. It doesn't change if I have a fight or not. This last year, like I said, I took some time off. I just recently had a kid and got married, so I was kind of doing the family
Congrats.
Thing. Sarah offered me the fight for the 85 belt, and you know, I said I'd love to have it, and so I got myself back in the gym a little bit more and we're focusing more. But there's no time, especially if fighting is really important to you and it's kind of part of your life. You know, there's no other time where you're skipping out of the gym too much. You're kind of always in there at some point or another where you're getting some training in. Because after a week or two, if you haven't gotten the chance to get in the gym, you kind of get that crave to kind of get in there and get back in there and get that adrenaline rush going. But usually, you know, if I am working on a specific fight, you know, I'll focus, you know, 2 or 3 months of time for that, you know.
Great.
Yeah.
What I wanted to touch on is obviously you've been fighting for over 10 years now professionally, and the legacy that you've had as Naptime and what that's meant for so many fighters. For example, when we were talking to Carl yesterday, he said he first got into MMA by seeing you on Ultimate Fighter and being like, oh, there's people in Alaska that are actually doing this. Mm-hmm. So how have you transitioned from when you first started to now and maybe becoming more of a veteran and mentor for younger MMA fighters?
Yeah, I feel like I've definitely kind of evolved from when I first started and grown a lot since my very first fight in the AFC. I definitely coach as much as I can now just to kind of share the knowledge that I've learned and experiences that I've had, because it is, you know, it's constantly evolving. The fight game, everything is changing and moving forward, you know, and I've loved it. And there's things that I've learned that I've been able to show and pick up new things as I'm teaching. And it's just been a really great experience. And I don't know, I think as a whole, I've evolved to kind of this, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't want to blow myself up too much. You know, I try to be humble at the same point of, you know, saying that I've gained a lot of experience and I've gotten to a really good point where I'm just kind of comfortable everywhere in the cage and nothing really kind of surprises me anymore. You know, it's a second home to me, you know, being in that cage right now.
Absolutely. And with MMA too, it's not like traditional sports where kids pick it up at, you know, 5, 6 years old and they do the soccer and the little league and things like that. It seems to be a shift where more kids are getting into that in the later stages. But I think the interest is there. The popularity of the sport is growing. It's worldwide right now. UFC obviously is a huge global phenomenon. How do you help encourage and coach some of the younger kids possibly at your gym who are steering away from those traditional sports and getting into more of the MMA? I mean, is that...
We have the jiu-jitsu. We have a kids' jiu-jitsu class at our gym. We have a kids' kickboxing class. You know, so we're always looking to nurture any kind of desires that children want. Because, I mean, it's at that point, you know, they're excited about everything, you know, and we want to help them kind of learn as much as they can because they soak it up all the time. And so, yeah, it's always going to be that exciting factor for younger kids and younger generations and youth in general. You know, we've got kids that are, you know, teenagers that are doing the MMA classes as well, you know, where they're not quite old enough to fight, but they want to get in there as soon as they turn 18, you know. And so it's that excitement factor that they have that, you know, we can kind of use and feed off of and teach them all the things that they need to know and say, you know, hey, you know, it's going to be a long road. If this is something you really enjoy, you got to put the work in and you got to really, really focus on what you do. And it's not outside, you know, it's not just in the gym, it's outside the gym as well. You got to, you know, be clean, eat healthy, you know, do good, you know, drink lots of water constantly, you know, for people in school, you know, we talk to them and say, you know, that school is important. Being a fighter, it actually takes, you know, a lot of intelligence. Some guys are out there and just kind of swing their fists and think that that's all it takes, you know, but to be a really skilled fighter, you need to have a certain level of intelligence to understand what's going on in the cage around you at all times.
We were looking at some of your videos online just doing research before, and we came across, I think it was back in AFC 70, I think you had a fight with, I believe it's Josh.
But yeah, one of my horrible crap talking.
Yeah, where you guys were smack talking, going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I don't think we do a lot of that anymore on AFC, but you obviously backed it up.
Yeah.
And you beat him with a submission, right?
Yep, I knee-barred him in the fourth round.
So yeah. Can you talk about that process and how things were back then and,
you know,
that fight in particular?
Yeah, I mean, and I was younger then, you know, I'm still fairly young, but younger then, more immature, I'd suppose. But I mean, it's kind of one of those things. Josh Henry at that point was known for kind of being the bad guy. You know, his nickname was the Ghost, and after he beat somebody, he would steal their nickname as kind of a taunt. And so, you know, I had just fought one of his coaches, actually, Kevin Barber. And they were at the same gym together. And so I had just beat him, and I had won the 70 belt from David Knight at that point. And he was kind of saying that I was too young to be a champ and I didn't deserve it. And, you know, I had been training so long at that point in wrestling and then moving into the MMA game that, you know, I was ready to compete at that level. And I, right, you know, I showed him and I said, you know, and, you know, I wasn't a very good smack talker at the point, but, you know, I tend to let a lot of my words just kind of happen in the cage. And It was a good fight. He was a tough guy. And then, yeah, I just used my jiu-jitsu that I've kind of created and learned and knee-barred him in the fourth. And it was a pretty sweet victory for me. I was excited. I kind of got in his face afterwards, you know, a little bit, just because of the heat of the moment. But, you know, anytime you can kind of sell a fight and get people excited about coming and watching, you know, it adds that, you know, emotion to the arena. And, you know, you can feel it. It's palpable when you're in the arena and the people are cheering and screaming and you're in the cage. And, you know, after a fight happens, you know, you see guys all the time jumping up on top of the cages and screaming. And, you know, it's a very intense, emotional kind of feeling that you can get while you're in there. And it's fun.
As far as rivalries go, is that, I know it was just one fight, but any other instances that you had a lot of trash talking with an opponent?
As I was kind of growing up through my fighting career, you know, kind of creating a persona and creating that you know, desire to come watch you fight is something that you need to work on. And I tell people when they first start fighting, you need to make yourself memorable. You need to do something, and so that's kind of how I created the whole nap time kind of theme or whatever. You know, my very first fight, I didn't have a nickname. And I choked him unconscious. And then after that, you know, I kind of would tease with my coach about sleeping through the day, you know, just being out of high school, kind of working part-time jobs so I can take naps whenever I want. So that was the initial way I got the nap time. And so I kind of created the character where I walked out in pajamas and I had a nightcap and a little teddy bear at one point in time, you know, walking out, just kind of creating that desire for the fans to kind of watch, because we're entertainers, you know, and that's what we do. But, you know, at the same point, we're competitors, you know, so it's a very fun give and take from making yourself better as well as entertaining the people that you're there for.
Right.
And so, yeah, so sometimes there was one for the belt fight that I had at 170, David Knight, I ended up making a little, you know, nap time book for him or something, and kind of was teasing him about it a little bit, saying that I was going to put him to sleep and different things like that. So just things like that kind of make it more interesting to the fans, to kind of give them a little bit more incentive to come to the fights. And anytime that somebody has interest in something, they're going to put more effort into it. And, you know, I try to give as much back to the fans as I can. You know, I've been doing this a long time. I try to, you know, I love walking around, taking pictures with people and shaking hands, you know, and that's what it's all about, is, you know, the fans that come to the shows. And, you know, when we're in there and it's a sold out crowd or the stadium's packed or whatever it is, you know, it's a great feeling, you know, people are having a good time and having fun. And that's what I really enjoy when I'm at the fights.
Absolutely. And you touched on a little bit there that the teammates and guys in the same gym and kind of that close-knit family that you guys have. Now, in addition to your fight, that the main event that we're looking forward to here, May 16th at the Alaska Airlines Center, are there other fights on the ticket that you're excited for, that you have teammates on, or that the fans should watch out, some up-and-coming?
I know that Justin Buckles and Carlton will be a really good fight. Justin is actually originally from up here. I believe it's Fairbanks that he originally started from, and then he moved down to California, and he's one of the head coaches at Team Alpha Male. He's going to be a very tough opponent for Carlton. And Carlton, I've trained with a bunch. He's a up-and-coming tough kid, very long and lanky and kind of hard to kind of get in on and stuff. So it'll be an interesting fight for him. I think it'll be a really big step up in competition for him, but I think it'll be a good, you know, kind of way to evolve his own game, you know, move forward. But so that fight should be really exciting. I haven't had a chance to look too much at some of the other fight cards, but I know some of my guys have been kind of begging Sarah to try to look for guys to fight and stuff. So, you know, we're always hungry to get in there and, you know, have fun, because it is fun anytime you're, you know, part of the MMA community and you start fighting and you just kind of, you have that itch in your blood. You just got to be in there and have a good time.
And you mentioned earlier the persona thing, and I mean, you see that with like, for example, Conor McGregor, but particularly with you in the pajamas. How many pairs of pajamas do you have?
Oh gosh, I don't even know if I have a number now. I'm I have more pajamas probably than any other article of clothing that I have.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I would get to the point where people would give me pajamas for, you know, my birthday or Christmas or different things like that. So, you know, I have like, you know, one sock and underwear drawer and one drawer for shirts. And then I have like five drawers for just pajamas, you know, and it's gotten to be almost a little crazy where I don't, you know which pair of pajamas to put on, you know, for the day. I think I've got two pairs of jeans in my whole wardrobe and the rest are pajamas. But, you know, I love it because I could use an excuse as, you know, I'm nap time as to wear pajamas out of the house and be comfy all day. You know?
So we will be seeing the pajamas.
Oh, I'm sure. Point. Yep. I'll be walking out in some pajamas. That's great.
Perfect. Yeah. And for any people out there interested in the sport, is there a way that they can contact you or your gym and get involved if they're interested in, I mean, if you want to plug?
Yeah. I can kind of promote myself in the gym a little bit. I train at Anchorage Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It's right there off Northern Lights, kind of by B&J Sporting Goods and that Taco King right over there. They have classes every day of the week. You just kind of come in, check it out. We've got kids classes, MMA classes, jiu-jitsu classes, no gi classes, which are jiu-jitsu without the gi apparel, the rash guard that you have to wear to use certain submissions and stuff. And we've also got kickboxing classes. We've had a lot of classes where self-defense for women as well have been going on. And then if you have any interest in kind of following me, talking to me, Naptime Nick on Facebook, Instagram, you plug me in on the internet, you'll be able to find me. Naptime Nick Heron Webb. And, you know, I'm pretty easy going, so don't be afraid. I won't bite if you send me a message or anything.
The last thing I wanted to ask is just another video I saw. You were being interviewed and they asked you about Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And then you came in here with the Star Wars lanyard. So I'm assuming you're a pretty big fan.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a nerd, you know, when it comes to kind of all kinds of different things. You know, I like the Star Wars and the Hobbit and Lord of the Rings kind of thing. So, you know, the local, or not local, but you know, The Walking Dead, just kind of any kind of newer nerdy things I'm into, you know. So is there a Star Wars question you had for me?
I know the new one came out last year and there was a lot of controversy, mm-hmm. especially by a lot of the fans who stick by the originals. So I wanted to ask you what you thought about it.
I thought there was definitely pros and cons to it. I think, you know, Disney changed the Star Wars franchise a large change to it, which has, you know, made a lot of people kind of step back away from it as much. And, you know, but it's kind of one of those things that it's a diehard thing for me. I was pretty young when the first Star Wars were coming out, and probably the first one I don't even know if I was around for. It's just something that you can't really hate, you know. At the same point, there's things that you might not understand why they did it a certain way. The directors kind of made it to where it was, you know, silly this way. But you know, when you have a certain love for something, it doesn't matter, you know, if it's horrible. You're gonna find out, you know, why. You know, that's why people love those C and B and D class, you know, scary movies. You know, it's not about the quality of the movie, it's about the feeling that you get from it. And that's what it is, you know. Star Wars, I love the kind of sci-fi and, you know, blast somebody with your laser, right. Hit them with your laser sword, lightsaber. And, you know, I like the idea of it. So, I don't know. I'm a big fan. It doesn't matter to me. I thought the movies, you know, were a different direction than some of the older ones. But probably one of my favorite newer ones was Rogue One. I thought they tied that one really well into some of the other episodes. And I don't know. You know, there's potential for it to get better.
Definitely. So. Sorry to go off the rails like that.
No, that's all right. Talk about anything. I'm happy to talk about Star Wars or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've been sitting down today with Naptime Nick Heron Webb, ahead of AFC 140 coming up May 16th here at the Alaska Airlines Center. Tickets still on sale. Get your tickets at alaskaairlinescenter.com or alaskafighting.com. Once again, Naptime Nick Heron Webb, thank you for joining us today.
You guys have a good day.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're looking forward to your fight and best of luck next Wednesday.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
And so anybody hasn't been out to the Alaska Airlines Center yet to join or to watch a fight, right on top of the action. Great place to view it. Certainly a great sport to be a part of. We're excited to host it here. And if you haven't had a chance to come out, please do. Last fight of the season for this year before the summer vacation.
Yep.
But yeah, once again, thank you for coming out. Yeah, any last thoughts or any last?
No, I'm excited. This venue is amazing. You know, I've kind of grown with the AFC and worked a lot with Sarah, and you know, I spent a lot of time at the Sullivan helping her set up and do everything. And you know, coming here, it's nice. It's very clean and everything's put together well, and you know, it runs really smoothly. And I'm excited for being able to be a part of a show at this event and this venue.
Absolutely. Well, we're looking forward to having you on Wednesday. All once right. again, AFC 140 coming up May 16th here at the Alaska Airlines Center.